many of you brought a Bible? It's going to be neat today. Raise up your Bible. Dennis, would you come up here? I want Dennis to come up. Would y'all just welcome Dennis as he comes up here? We're going to do something this morning, and I think it's necessary that we talk about some of the things that are happening. If y'all don't know Dennis Luton, he has been in the ministry for years and years. How long? Well, talk in your mind. It's on.
About 38 years.
38 years of ministry.
Yes, sir.
He's done a lot of revival tent meetings over the years. He's pastored churches. And just this year, if y'all don't know him, he was just called to stop pastoring and go evangelize. But he always believes in a local church. And so he prayed about it. And one day he called me and wanted to meet with me. And him and his wife Jan came. And we met at Dahlia's. And he said, he began to tell me his vision and that he was feeling like he needed a pastor. And he said that the Lord just really brought him to this church. And so it's an honor to be able to welcome them. So immediately I put them in charge of the intercessory prayer team. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand prayer, ooh, you'll get taught a lot by this man in that kitchen in the mornings, because they are literally praying for this service, for me, for y'all, for our city, for whatever the Lord leads them to pray for. And so I want to thank you for being who you are. I want to thank you for the call that's on your life, and I believe God's going to use you in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now, I called him, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday. Yes.
And y'all know me. It was so funny. I had a message on, let's see, I think it was a messenger message. And, you know, because it's a neat thing how God works in my life. You know, if I'm real structured spiritually, everything always changes. And I get a message from someone wanting me to come minister at a big men's meeting. They say it's a really large thing up in Denton, Texas, in June. It's on like a Friday. And so I waited a couple of days and let him know I was going to pray about coming and ministering to this group. And I went ahead and called him yesterday. And he began to say, you know, that my name came up and told me a few other ministers that had ministered there in the past. And then he said this. He said, but my pastor wants to call you and see what you would talk about. And that was the worst thing you could say to me. Because I don't know. I had this service planned, and then yesterday God changed it all. And so I politely told the man, I said, well, sir, I'm not looking for another place to preach. I am very, very busy. I said, but I'm probably not the right guy to come and minister to your group if I have to have my notes prepared and approved by somebody. And I don't agree with that. And it changed the whole conversation where he was thinking about leaving the church. Said, no, don't do that, sir. No, don't leave. God may have you there for a reason, but I just might not be the person. Well, that's what God did yesterday for this service. And I called Dennis and I said, here's what the Lord has instructed me to do for us to go, and I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we're going to tag team and just discuss some things in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, and I want to give Dennis, and he already knows it, I want to give him any time he wants to just jump in, he's gonna. But we're going to start talking about Matthew 24, and here's why. what is going on in our country, and all of you that are watching, I was going to say hi to Reno and his family that are watching and love them so much. All the rest of you that are watching all over the country, it's a privilege that you would be watching and being a part of this service all over the country. And we want to do justice and preach the engrafted word. But we also need to talk about some things, because obviously, you know, I've been getting messages like I've talked about earlier from ministers all over about this panic and this fear and what is going on with our country. Well, how many of you know that this shouldn't be anything new to us believers, because this is a sign of the end times.
Yes.
This is a sign. And so we're going to go through Matthew chapter 24, and we won't get maybe to 14, maybe. But we're going to start with verse 3, and I'm going to read some of this, and then we're going to start talking. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from 3 down to 14, and then we're going to go back up, and Dennis and I are going to start talking about some of the things that we need to talk about. Verse 3, Matthew chapter 24. Shout amen if you're there.
Amen.
As he sat, talking about Jesus, because verse 4, then Jesus starts talking here. Upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, that's the question that a lot of people want to know about, right? And then Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. How about that? And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. I'll tell you what I have beside that here in a minute. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that should endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
Oh, man.
That's good.
Glory to God. All right. So let's go back up now to verse 3 and just start talking about these things, because obviously the disciples, just like all of us here today, are wondering about the signs of the times. What is exactly happening? Maybe in your prayer time, what is the Lord telling you about the signs of the times? Is this virus, this coronavirus, all these things? We all believe it's a sign of the time. Would you agree?
I think you gave us a hint of what's happening now 2 weeks ago when you did your series on the hope. And I think this whole message here in Matthew 23, the end of 23 and 24, is a message of hope. It seems like gloom and doom, but it's a message of hope. You started talking about the hope, and how what makes us different than the world is that we have the Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have that living hope inside of us. The Bible says that they're without Christ in the world with no hope. So we're seeing, you see, if you look over at Matthew chapter 23, before we get to 24, the Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He says, "Thou, O Jerusalem, thou that slayeth the prophets." And he said, this house will become desolate. So what happened to the house, the temple of God? It became a den of thieves. It was a house where there was no hope anymore. The Jerusalem house, the house in temple, the temple became a place of no hope. And it was, and Jesus walked away from it and said, look, I'm walking away from this thing. And God wants the church to be a house of hope. We were warned 2 weeks ago, we better get some hope. We didn't know this crisis was going to happen 2 weeks ago. We didn't know we'd be shutting down all these places. I thank God for a Holy Ghost pastor that you, and you preach that message. I went and studied. I studied hope for 2 weeks since you preached that thing. And then you say, we're going to do this message. It's all about hope. So we're going to see hope today as you show us. We're going to see the hope that we have in Christ.
Amen. Okay. How many of you know that needs to be our way of living then? You remember in Matthew where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We can't leave out his righteousness because obviously that means doing what's right, right? But the kingdom of God is God's ways here on earth as it is in heaven, his ways of doing things. And his ways of doing things is us not to get in fear, but to stay in hope, because all of us have recognized, just watching the news and going to HEB, that a whole lot of people are not in faith, they're in fear. Matter of fact, it was told to me earlier, as I said, hey, how much toilet paper do we have here at the church, that I was informed that someone has already taken two big bundles of toilet paper. That's called thieves. That's thievery. We had three big bundles. We only have one now.
I hate to laugh.
I'm like, okay, in this church, someone is taking our toilet paper? Listen to me. That's why that spirit of fear is trying to overtake the body of Christ even. It's already got the world, right?
Right, right.
The world already operates in that fear because they don't have the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, as Ephesians talks about.
We're actually seeing the reaction of people without hope. When this crisis hit, you're seeing the reaction of the pandemic. It isn't coronavirus. The pandemic is a lack of hope and fear that's spreading throughout the entire world.
So we need to not be in fear but live in hope, okay?
Right.
Okay, but we have to go through some of these things and let's see if they're happening even in the body of Christ.
Right.
Verse 4, look at what it says. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, there's a lot of deception going on in this world. I mean, just in our government, there's deception like we've never seen. We have one side of the country divided against the other side of the country. I call that good and evil, really, because that's what it is. There's lawlessness, and then there's people that are living by the Word of God. Well, that's a part of this spirit of deception. I looked in the Amplified, Dennis, and it said, Jesus said to them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. Now, obviously we know then the very next scripture, Jesus declares, but there's going to be many come in my name. We remember Waco, when a guy called himself Jesus, you know, and demons do that.
Right.
So we need to understand that deception is here. It's a sign of the times.
Right.
Do not be in deception, though. Don't look, I believe, and I know you agree with this, that the Word of God, you don't want to just find one scripture and then not have that one scripture be backed up many times in the Word of God. Because that's how people then make doctrine out of one scripture. For example, we know that when the Apostle Paul was correcting the church at Corinth, remember, he told the women to be silent in the church. And we understand that the reason he said women be silent in the church was because in that one particular church, they were being disruptive. The women were on that side. Their husbands and family was men was on the other side. And while the Apostle Paul was ministering, the women would yell across to their husbands or sons or fathers, trying to figure out what is he talking about. And it became out of order. So the Apostle Paul said, women, be silent in the church. There's one denomination that grabbed a hold of that and will not let women do anything. They can't even wear makeup. I'm here to tell you, we need makeup.
Yeah, that's, thank you. Somebody
say
amen.
I'm not talking bad about you. I'm just saying it just makes you look so beautiful.
If the barn needs paint.
Okay, we better not go there.
You started. Now,
I'm sorry about that. What am I thinking?
Yeah, he starts it and tells me we better not go there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But deception is a very dangerous thing in the body of Christ. Because I could probably go across this crowd, and I'm sure there's people that's been a part of splits in a church. They're terrible. They're dangerous. They're demonic. And they're not right. That's this spirit of deception. And we cannot live in deception in these days. That's why I felt yesterday to make a video on Facebook. And hopefully most of you have seen it. And if you haven't, you need to.
It was good, yeah.
Because we need to understand that we cannot get into fear. We have to get into faith. And Psalms 91 is faith. And it says no plague should come near our dwelling. And that virus, coronavirus, is a plague. It is a sign of the end times. Amen? So let's go on, because look at verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. I was thinking of something yesterday, and let me throw this in real fast. Just yesterday, it might have been the day before, but it was the same day. We bombed the Iran militia that killed three of our service people, or one, injured a bunch of them. The very same day, there was an earthquake in Sweetwater, Texas. Did y'all see that? Right down the road, or Snyder, Texas, right down the road. It was the very same day that they came on the news saying that the stores were being ravaged, people fighting to get different things. I mean, over and over we're seeing these signs, and here the Lord is saying you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but then he gives us a warning. See that you be not troubled. Say that with me. See that
you
be
not
troubled.
Frightened or disturbed. Don't be frightened or disturbed. And there's a disturbing going on. There's an unrest even among the church folks today, because we've allowed. You know, go back to verse 5. It says, "Some will come in my name and say I am Christ." That we would recognize if they said they were Jesus. But what if they said that Jesus is Christ? They're saying I am Christ. So the deception doesn't always come from people who are real kooky. It can come from people who are preaching the gospel and saying that Jesus is Lord. So we have to be very, you know, this is warning us to keep ourselves pure. You know, that's why I love Corey. Every time I come to this church, no matter what he teaches on, he's going to come around to the cross. He's going to preach Jesus. And we have to be sure of what we are believing. And I'm here, every time I come here, I get excited. I mean, I want to cry, shout, run, dance in the Holy Ghost, because it's like every time I come here, it's like I open up a Christmas gift. You know, and we need to be assured and know those who labor among us. And I didn't come here for any stupid reason. I came here because I believed in the man and believed in what God was doing in your church here. And you preach Jesus. It's important that we stay true to the Word of God. And this church believes in the Word of God. Jan met, I don't want to take too much time, but Jan met, we met him 10 years ago at a church here in Johnson City. And Jan said, now there's a cowboy preacher. That's the first thing he said, there's a cowboy preacher. And we didn't know it, but that connection was made 10 years ago. There's something big happening right now. But you got to know who labors among you and honor those who God puts in your position. If God called you, you guys ain't running me off. I'm connected. I'm not getting offended about nothing. Amen. I'm going to pray and shut up right now.
Amen. Glory be to God. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Look at verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places.
Let's look at verse 7 there. For nation shall rise against nation. He's talking about the pagan nations of the world here. Then he says kingdom against kingdoms. He's talking about the realms of ruling entities, which are talking about a spiritual thing as well. So now you're seeing a kingdom against kingdom, the kingdom of darkness against kingdom of light. There's a lot of things going on in the spirit world right now. We're seeing an outpouring of demonic. The devil knows his time is short. And we're going to, if you, when we get down to where we talk about famines and pestilence, you're going to see that there are certain seals that will be released in the last days, and they bring with them famine. They bring with them pestilence. So we're starting to see this coronavirus just came from the pits of hell. Something was released. And with it wasn't coronavirus, it was a spirit of fear that came with it. And so we're seeing something more deep than just a little, you know, fear. We haven't been afraid of the flu like this. Of course, more people died of that one flu we had 3 years ago than died of this one. But why are we so fearful? Because there was a demon attached to this, a demon of fear.
Man. See, if we start understanding the times, the signs of it, then we don't get into fear. I mean, we start talking about the rapture, and really, I'm not going to get to that part today. We'll probably get there though eventually, because it starts talking about the rapture and the things like that on down in this chapter 24. But anytime you start talking about the end times, you know, those kind of things, it also tries to put fear primarily on younger people, because they haven't lived their lives. They haven't, in their minds, they haven't, you know, married. They haven't had children. Some people, even in middle age, haven't done all they want to do. I know even the older folks, you know, like my mom, when my dad went to heaven, I just assumed mom probably would want to go with him. And she said, no, I don't want to go yet. I want to stay here and enjoy my children and my grandchildren. And I want to continue to do what God's called me to do. Now, Dad's already there rejoicing, right? But we can't die with him. We have to keep living here and then one day have that hope that we're going to get there. So I think it's really important for all of us to not lose hope.
That's right.
We've got to continue. But these signs are for a reason, so that we'll wake up and start looking up, because our redemption draws nigh. We've got to continue to be persistent about seeing people saved. Say it with me: healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God. I mean, I think that's really important, that's the mission behind this church, is to see people born again. And then to see them delivered from all that worldly junk out there, to see them set free to all the crud that is trying to attach itself to godly people, and be freed from that, so that they don't have a cloudiness in their minds. Know that they actually look up and understand that this was designed to have fear come across our country. And I understand people are at home watching us right now. I understand some churches are not able to have more than 250 people. In Chicago, a pastor that we know, they can only have 500 in their service and 250 in their overflow. And this is a church of thousands. I know Joel Osteen had to cancel, and they're doing everything online. But here's the danger of that to me, is that it will only take a few of these things to keep happening, where governors all across the country start saying, well, it would just be better not to have church services. I can see what's happening because of the demonic spirit that Dennis just talked about that was attached to this particular virus. And I'm here to tell you, God's people should be rising up right now, taking a stand for the kingdom of God.
That's right. You know, that famines, if you look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, the famine, it's a judgment. And how does God judge people? People call on evil, so their six seals will be released. And these are judgments that will come from God. Well, it's what it is people are calling on darkness. Eventually, he's going to let them see darkness. So the judgment is not him judging them harshly. They judge themselves unworthy and called on darkness. So God just releases darkness to them. And you see this famine was the black horse of the seal, the third seal. And then pestilence is, this is pandemic plagues and afflictions. This is a pale horse with death and a grave. And at his heels, and this is a fourth seal. So this proves to us here that this is not just some normal something. This is we're reaching the birth pains of the last days. It isn't here yet, but we're starting to see just those first little, you know, you women, you start having babies, start getting those contractions and so forth. We're seeing the contractions possibly of the last days.
And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready.
Amen.
You know, I remember that scripture that says that God, Jesus come like a thief in the night, not to us. I mean, we're not going to know when he's coming, but it's not going to be unexpected to a believer that's looking up and understanding what Jesus is trying to teach us right here. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't carry on. I want you to still pursue your goals and dreams. I want you to continue to be the mother and father God called you to be, or the grandmama or granddad God called you to be. I want you to continue to be the friend God called you to be. But one thing we're going to continue to do is understand that these things that are happening in our country and in our world are designed to bring fear and push you away from God.
That's right. And you're going to see this just a second here. When we get to the next verse, you're going to see all is designed to break up the body of Christ, to break us up, give us into fear, and get us to where some people will serve God, and because they're not serving God, they're going to be mad at the ones that are serving God. So you're going to see a lot of strife begins to come up here. We'll see this in these next verses.
Now, all right, let's just go to them. Look at verse 9, guys. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. I see how, look at the Amplified. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation, put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. All that really means, and don't get into fear about getting killed or nothing. We're protected by the blood of Jesus. But there's going to be a time, and I think all of us have already seen it, even in this country, where we get persecuted for being a Christian. What it's done, I think, is a lot of times, designed by the enemy, is it's caused people to not want to outwardly tell people about their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't want to get persecuted. I know some people that are working for others, I mean, their jobs and their bosses are trying to control a lot of things in their lives. You know, who they talk to and who they touch and who they're around and all these kind of things, trying to stop this demonic virus. But I'm here to tell you there's only one thing that's going to stop this virus, and that's the name of Jesus.
Right.
Nothing else is going to stop it, y'all. It's going to be Christians rising up, and that's why I'm praying for revival,
yes,
man.
Yes,
I'm praying for revival right here in this city, and that will just continue to go around, because right now you and I are a crowd of people that are gathering up, praying, and rebuking this plague that the Bible says shall not come nigh our dwelling. That's Psalms 91, right?
Can I say something bold? God's not in control of this situation until we take control. He expects us to take the authority that he gave us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and rebuke this thing, and to stand strong and not let our fear and not let the world's unhopelessness take a hold of us. We are going to take control. We have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I remember one time when a minister said, God is not in control.
He's not.
Because you and I are. Understand, don't mistake that in a negative way, because God, he controls everything, but he designed you and I to be in authority right now.
We have authority on the earth. We have authority in heaven. Behold, I give you power, you power, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And he says he gave the church power to do that. We are the body of Christ. We represent Jesus on this earth. We are the ones that speak in his name. It's him speaking through us. That's how he's in control.
So you understand that, right? So it's going to be us saying, no, devil, you will not destroy my family. You will not get me into fear. You will not take me to the days of Babylon, which is unbelief. No, I'm going to stay in faith. Come on, someone shout amen, because that's what we need today. We don't need to get in fear, because, again, fear is going to cause you to stay home. Fear is going to cause, I'm not talking about the people that are watching, but I'm talking about there are millions of people that if they're a certain age, they won't even come out right now. And all that is based on fear. Now, I do believe we should have wisdom.
Sure.
We should be using it. I mean, if someone is sick, you need to stay home and get well. Get your faith up. You don't need to come in contact with all of us and our children at schools, because it's causing schools to be closed down all over the country. It's causing people not to go to restaurants. It's causing all our sporting events. We don't even know what's going to happen with our rodeo next month. Not in the natural, but in the spiritual, we're having that rodeo. Somehow. Now, let's go on now to verse 10, because this starts getting home.
Persecution, now we're going to start seeing the effect of it, and what's going to follow after persecution here. This is pretty powerful here.
All right, so a lot of people have been persecuted. Now, look what the Bible starts talking about in verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I know people even in churches that hold grudges against someone that did something bad to them back when. I know church leadership and things, and areas, you know, that are going on in churches are fighting with each other. I mean, even in this church, there's been the temptation for different groups. Doesn't matter which one it is. And people just get offended. Well, this is the spirit that is trying to destroy the body of Christ, that one word called offense. I mean, I don't know how long I've been on the phone in the last few days about this one thing, offense.
I looked up this word offended, and if you look it up in the Greek and in the Latin and all that, it says losing their faith, falling back into sin, being repelled by truth. So when people get offended, they're not just hurt. There's something spiritually going on right there, and they're looking for an excuse to walk away from Jesus. And, you know, it's sinful to be offended. Did you hear me? It's sinful, because when you get offended, you cut yourself off from the body of Christ, and you're hurting yourself, and you're a value to the body of Christ. You're actually sinning against the church because you're needed. Amen?
Yeah, and it's causing people to leave the church like I've never seen over some of the weirdest things. And I'm not going to go into some of them that I know about, but I'm telling you, it will make people, you're leaving because of that? You'd be upset because someone sat in your seat?
We had a church in Elgin. This is the truth. We changed the seating arrangement of our church, and they came to church that morning, and they haven't been back since because we changed the seating arrangement, and they said, we like to sit over there, we have this and that, and they left the church, and they loved us. But something happened. So it wasn't the seating. They got offended. And people who get offended don't go on with God. And then they cause others to be offended. They start talking. And this is the deadly part of what's going on here with this virus and this fear, is it causes bitterness. It causes people to fall away from Jesus. So it's not innocent just to be offended. It's not just about you. There's something deep spiritually going on there.
Look at that next part, and it says, and shall betray one another. Man, when I was growing up, when I was young, my dad and mom, you know what they taught me? That your word was true. That handshake. What is everybody saying on the media that they don't want you to do right now? Shake hands. Someone told me the other day, that makes a whole lot of sense. They say touch elbows. Where are they telling us to sneeze into? So sneeze into your elbow and then touch elbows. It don't make much sense, right? I was taught that a good handshake was your word, your bond. You stayed with it. If you said that, it's kind of like years ago, and you've probably been through this too, but I was asked to come and minister at an event, and the event was about 10 people. Well, a few days later, I was called to and asked to come preach on the very same day at the same time, but there was going to be 1,000 people. What's your integrity going to do? That's why I preached on righteousness, that the Bible says in Isaiah, your righteousness goes before you. But my bond and my word was, I'm going to the one that only has 10 people. And I realized that there's going to be a whole lot more people that I could minister to, but I had already given my word. Well, here, the Bible says that one of the signs of the times is that people will betray one another. That all that simply means is that your word is not your word.
It's time for us to grow up. This is very serious, the time we're in right now. It's really time for us to grow up. The Bible says if we can't run with the foot soldiers, we'll never be able to keep up with the chariots. There was a time when you could live for Jesus kind of cheap. You know, you kind of live for Jesus, you just kind of no problems. But there's a lot of problems coming in the world right now. And you can't just live for Jesus cheap anymore. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, though none go with me. And we're at the point where the spiritual attack is so strong now that we're not going to get away with just being nonchalant. You're going to have to grow up. Everybody say, I need to grow up.
I need to grow up.
Quit being a baby. Amen. Is that right? And it don't always go your way. You know what? I would say this, and I don't want to take too much time, but I bet there's some things this church at Corey doesn't like. Well, I don't like what they do there at that church there, in Liberty Hill. Well, he doesn't like what they're doing either. He's a pastor. There's things that he can't control. You know, you're some of the problem that, you know, why he doesn't like, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Well, that pastor did. Well, you may be his problem. The problem is we have to do this together, don't we? The solution isn't pointing fingers at each other. The solution is if something needs to be done, let's just do it and humble ourselves, become a servant.
Amen. All right. Look at this next word right quick. Hate. Hate. Wow. That's a tough word. And shall hate one another. Oh, wow. I mean, I saw where literally means to pursue someone with that spirit of hate on them.
There's that word hate, if you look at the word blasphemy, when you curse people, you're actually cursing people. They're made in the image of God. So this hatred that's coming is actually a spirit of blasphemy. We're hating people, and we should love the people. There's a spirit of blasphemy that comes with all this fear. There's a spirit of just cursing people, of getting mad. And if it can get in the body of Christ, the Bible said that what the house divided will not stand. And you see this in the next verse here where it says many prophets, and we're going to talk about that, but I want to look, when you get to that, let me talk about prophets real
quick.
Go
ahead and go there right now.
Okay, many prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That word prophets is the same word you see apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but it can be interpreted many ways. That word prophet in this sense here is not just talking about those in the ministry. There's some phony preachers, isn't there? There's some phony church members too. There's people who are witches sent into churches to create problems. You know that? As a tent preacher, I learned that. So this word, many false prophets, isn't just talking about preachers. It's about people who profess to be Christians. Many false professors of Christ will come in, and they shall rise, where? Rise up out of all the confusion created by all this offense and betrayal and hatred, and they'll also rise up in congregations and cause all kinds of trouble in the church. They'll start saying, well, you know, I don't, you know, I know you, I love Corey, but, you know, he just did this and that and that. If anybody talks about, don't even come to me and tell me what Corey did unless you talk about how wonderful he is. I ain't going to slap you, but I'm going to look you in the eye and say, wait a minute, what did you just say? Somebody say amen. Now, I want to slap you. You need to honor those who you... If God's called you to a church, if it's not Corey, go find a church that has a heart after God, a pastor's heart after God. But if he's your pastor, honor that man of God, and God will honor you. Amen. So it's not just the preachers. We pick on preachers. There's a bunch of phony church members. Don't be a phony church member and start causing problems and start gossiping in this church.
You know what I put after this? After deceive many, I wrote the word media.
What?
Media.
Media.
The media.
You're right.
Because who has caused more of trouble in this pandemic that they're talking about? The media. Oh, wow. And if you get down to it, a lot of it is to try to destroy the one that God put into office called President Donald Trump. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love, oh man,
there you go.
The love of many shall wax cold.
That's right. Well, when you see your love leave, you see your faith leave. You get bitter and upset because things are so hard on the earth and things are unhappy and you're unhappy. You lose your love walk, you lose your faith. You're going to fall into oblivion. Amen.
But look at this last verse, and we'll go ahead and start closing. Look at this last verse. But he, say he.
He.
That's he and
us.
She.
Us.
That's us. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Someone shout amen right there. I mean, that ought to excite everybody. If you endure to the end, if you're not a quitter, that's what I tell my kids, don't you dare quit. I don't care how hard it is, you continue in faith. You continue to flank that calf. You continue to do what you started doing. And I'm here to tell you, all of us has started by giving our lives to Jesus, and now we're walking in God's kingdom ways. Now it's up to you and I to stay true to the Word of God and do not give up.
In these last days,
don't you do it.
Listen, perseverance is going to win the crown. Perseverance is going to win the crown. These last days, the key is perseverance. Perseverance, what? Stay true to the truth. Just hang on and don't quit. Don't quit. The Bible says we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means hook up to your local church. Find what you can do. There's a persistence that God's going to give to the church, and a knowing that we know that we know that we know, and we're going to have to not quit. We have to grow up and realize we have a job to do. Amen.
Now, I know there's a lot more we can discuss this morning, but I don't know about you. But thank you, Dennis, by the way.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
For just inputting. And I knew it was the Lord that really, man, we've got to stay in faith. You teachers, you people that have children in school, I want you to continue to teach your kids to stay in faith. Don't let all that negative junk come in your ear and stay there. Let it go in one and out the other if you hear junk. That then leads to fear, because we're going to endure this. Matter of fact, I prophesy that in 2 weeks, this thing's going to be like nothing. It's going to be so overblown. You agree with that?
Yes.
Speak it. Speak it.
I think it's over with already. I think it's just a smokescreen.
Okay, so we're talking about the world then. Because spiritually speaking, it's done with.
It's nothing but a smokescreen. It's all a smokescreen. It's just deception. The little nuts, and you have the little deal on the little, what do you call it, shell game? This is all a shell game. This is all to get everybody all jacked up. It is, in their minds. I declare it's over right now.
All right, then I'm going to agree with that, because that sounds better. Amen?
It's over.
It's over.
You know, the Bible said your sin will find you out. There's a lot of sin involved in this stuff right here. It's going to be found out. I think people are going to wise up. People are not as stupid as the media say things are, and not as stupid as, we're not stupid. And I think people are going to wise up, and I think we're going to see God get glory out of all this stuff.
So how many of you would agree that revival comes to this land, not tomorrow, but right now?
Right now.
Right now. And it's going to take us and you that are watching to start spreading the word.
Like T.L. Osborne said, he says, tell them when you come to your town, tell them revival's come to your town. They say, why is that? Because I'm here. You're here. Say, I'm here.
I'm here.
I brought revival with me. Amen.
I brought revival with me.
I came to Liberty Hill from Elgin. I brought revival with me. Somebody say amen.
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 Amen. So let's confess this. I will.
Not live.
In the spirit of fear.
In the spirit of fear.
Because God did not give me.
Because God did not give me.
The spirit of fear.
The spirit of fear.
But he gave me power.
He gave me power.
Love.
Love.
A sound mind.
A sound mind.
That coronavirus. Is dead today.
Is dead today.
Is dead right now.
Is dead right
now. It will not go across this country.
It will not go across this
country. It will not go across this town.
It will not go across this town.
It will not go across our family.
It will not go across our family.
We prevail.
We prevail.
Because that coronavirus.
Because that coronavirus.
Has a name.
Has a name.
But Jesus.
But Jesus.
Is a name above it.
Is a name above it.
It's defeated.
Is defeated.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name.
Come on. Name. That's
Come on,
right.
y'all. Get up and praise
Amen.
God. Right now.
Praise
it's defeated.
God. Glory to God.
It's
Thank
defeated.
You, Lord Jesus. Jesus.
It's defeated. I want you to get that boldness. When you get out there in that world, that you declare, when they start talking about fist bumps and elbow hits, you start saying, oh, my God, in Him I trust. And I will not succumb to a spirit of fear over a virus that has absolutely no power above Jesus' name. And man, when we get that boldness, it's just going to start going across this country. You keep coming to this church and you invite your friends to come where the Spirit of God is, regardless if Pastor Corey has gone a time or two. You're coming here because, just like Dennis just said, the revival came with him. And revival doesn't have to happen if Corey Ross is here. No, revival comes because Jesus is here.
Pastor Corey, I believe reinforcements are coming.
Because the Jesus that lives on the inside of us all.
Reinforcements are coming to this church to help you more and more. You watch it. You watch more people are coming to help you do what you're trying to do here.
Amen. Watch it. No, come up. Come up. Don't go down there with a microphone because people are watching and they need to hear. Just go ahead and zoom down.
Some of y'all may know this. We've been in Liberty Hill a long time. But it was prophesied many years ago that Liberty Hill would be the hub of a great revival. Y'all, it's a coming. We've come into the kingdom for such a time as this.
Come here, Morris, real fast.
For such a time as this. Raise a hallelujah, y'all. Woo! Hallelujah.
Now, Morris has been my elder for the very beginning, but you tell me what, and you've told me before, but tell all these people what has happened in Liberty Hill in this area that has started years and years ago.
Years ago, two men held for revival right out north of Liberty Hill when Pentecost started. It was before I was born. And that started, it went away. And then it started again in the church, and people didn't move, and the church split. And he came here, and I came when he first came here, and I seen something in this man. And I've been here ever since. God is here to move. And he's doing it again. And one day, if we don't move with him, he's going to move on. Because God don't linger. He will give you every chance in the world, and he's given this church the chance to move out. And if we don't move it, we're going to give account to him. And just this week, I thought about this thing. And I said to myself, you know, we've got to move with God, or he'll move on. He'll go somewhere else. God will not linger with people that won't move with him. And we're moving with God, and we better stick to this guy was right this morning. I came to the church. I started not to come this morning, but something told me you better go. So y'all's message was right on. I mean, God is doing everything he can to move in this community. He's giving Liberty Hill another chance.
You don't realize what you just said a while ago. We prayed exactly what you just said this morning in this church's prayer meeting. We prayed exactly that. The Bible says that he'll raise up the foundation of many generations. And there's people, oh my, I'm getting so blessed.
Praise God.
There's people in the 1800s that had a vision for what God was going to do in this community. And they died and didn't fulfill it. And then the next generation came and didn't fulfill it. And the Bible, we said this morning, started prophesying that we're gonna reap where we haven't sown. I believe there's generations that have gone before us, and we're finally in a position now, at these last days, as things are starting to happen, we're in a position right now to begin to not just reap what we can do, but also from generations past.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
It's time. It's time.
It started even before I was born, and it's here again.
Amen.
It's here now, and we need to get a hold of it.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank you, Dennis. I hope y'all were blessed. I want to keep continuing to see what God does. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful time in your presence. And this is just the beginning. We've already declared that fear is broken off of us, off of our town, our country. We speak that spirit of calmness to come across our government. You spirit of coronavirus, die in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, as y'all know, I would never leave this service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So let's just all ask Jesus, even if you're saved, let's ask him to be the Lord of our life. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody, out of your mouth where your ears can hear it, every one of you say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my friend. I need you, Jesus, in my life today. I rebuke fear. I will not live under the laws of Satan, but I will live under the lordship of you, sir, which is Jesus Christ. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because you are my Lord, and I need you again in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus right now, maybe even watching, I want you to be bold about it right now. You don't have to come to the front, but I want you to be bold and not be ashamed of you giving your life to Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer and you said, Jesus, come into my life, and you had never done that, you just didn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you left this earth and died, but you just prayed that prayer and you meant it. If that was you, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. What you're doing is you're acknowledging that Jesus is your Lord. You're doing that to me and whoever else is looking. We're going to give you a Bible. But Jesus says, because you do that, you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. Don't you ever be ashamed of your life with Jesus Christ. If you just prayed that prayer, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to get your hand up and say, I just prayed that prayer. And then again, just put it right back down. Are you ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Get it up. Go. All right, look at me. If you were watching and you'd never given your life to Jesus, I want you to let us know that you did. And I understand that, man, I think what you're going to continue to see at this church, this is what I believe, is people that need Jesus, that are in fear, are going to start coming here to get refuge. But here's the deal. They need to see it in your life, the way you talk. What you let someone else talk to you, don't get into fear. It doesn't matter how old you are or if you're in that category of young and old that are more susceptible of that virus. No, you're in faith, and you're protected by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? Hallelujah. So let's go out here in faith in Jesus' name. Amen? Hang on. Morris got something else to say, and that's unlike him.
I wanted to say that started on a ranch right north of Liberty Hill.
We're on a ranch now. So think about that. He said we're on a ranch now, Harvest Ranch. So prophetically, this is supposed to happen, and you're a part of it. So continue to get people here. Amen? Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time. And again, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us right now. It's a pleasure to take you everywhere we go, do everything we do. You're with us all the time. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for just blessing us and that we don't live in fear. We're set free from it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.